From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams. 2 weeks from today, President Bush goes to New York to make his first address to the United Nations General Assembly. U.S. relations with that organization are tense. The U.S. is angry over its failure this year to secure a seat on the U.N. Human Rights Commission. Other U.N. members are upset by the Bush administration's response to U.N.-sponsored conferences and rejection of international treaties. Making matters worse, the U.S. still has not paid its back dues to the U.N. NPR's Vicki O'Hara reports.
The long-running dispute over unpaid U.S. dues to the United Nations was supposed to have been resolved last December. After months of negotiations, the U.N. agreed to reduce U.S. dues by more than $100 million a year. The U.S. agreed to pay $582 million, a large chunk of the arrears. The Senate has passed legislation that would release the money. The House also has approved payment, but with an amendment sponsored by Republican Tom DeLay. The amendment would exempt American troops serving as U.N. peacekeepers from jurisdiction of the proposed International Criminal Court.
This is a very big issue for Republicans almost across the political spectrum.
Ted Galen Carpenter is Vice President of Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute in Washington, D.C.
They do not want any possibility whatsoever that American military personnel could be subject to the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. And I don't think they're likely to back down.
Ann Carpenter says congressional attitudes toward the U.N. have hardened in recent months because of U.S. exclusion from the U.N. Human Rights Commission and the tenor of remarks about Israel at the recent U.N. conference on racism. Former Senator Timothy Wirth is president of the United Nations Foundation, which advocates strong U.S.-U.N. relations. He says the United Nations and the International Criminal Court should be seen as separate issues.
What Congressman DeLay is attempting to do is to mix two things that should not be mixed. Senator Helms has said don't mix them up. The administration has said don't mix them up. This is a little bit like saying that you won't pay your mortgage because you don't like the color of your neighbor's house.
An administration official who asked not to be identified said negotiations are underway to try to convince House Republican leaders to de-link the two issues and release the money in time for the president's speech. A Republican congressional aide says that Henry Hyde, chairman of the House International Relations Committee, wants to cooperate, but the issue, he says, is in the hands of the Republican leadership, and so far they have scheduled no action on the matter this week. Former U.N. Ambassador Richard Holbrooke helped broker the dues compromise. He says House Republicans must not put the president in the position of facing the U.N. without the promised money in hand.
This money has already been appropriated. It's not new money for the American taxpayer. The money has been committed. It's just been held up on a technicality by the House of Representatives for no good reason. And the administration must free it. Secretary Powell has told me that he very much wants it freed up, and it will be an embarrassment to the United States and to our president if that money is not released before he addresses the UN.
But Ted Carpenter says there's no reason to be embarrassed.
The president speaks for by far the most powerful country in the international system. People may be angry at the United States, but I don't think an American president ever has to hang his head in shame whenever he addresses the UN General Assembly.
The administration apparently takes the matter more seriously. Congressional aides say discussions are ongoing with officials from the White House and State Department. But time is running out. It's doubtful the issue can be resolved before the president's speech to the General Assembly on September 24th. And the president's problems don't stop there. At the request of a key Republican senator, the U.S. is withholding another chunk of money, more than $600 million already appropriated by Congress to pay the United States' latest share of U.N. peacekeeping. An administration official says if the money is not paid out before the end of the fiscal year, most of it reverts to the U.S. Treasury, ballooning the U.S. debt to the United Nations. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.
Hi, I'm Alan Kurzweil. I'm the author of The Grand Complication, a novel that chronicles the life of Alexander Short, a stylish reference librarian. His job in the course of this novel is to find a stolen pocket watch known as The Grand Complication.
I've been fascinated with librarians and libraries since I was 7 and walked into the local branch on 86th Street. I think what attracted me was the culture of librarianship. I think that librarians get a bad rap. The more I've gotten to know them, the more I realize that they're not the staid, hair in a bun, glasses-wearing wimps that generally get portrayed in fiction and film. I've found that librarians are actually activists, they're renegades, they tend to be subversive, much like the character of Alexander Short in The Grand Complication. They spend their days calling up Moby Dicks and Merck Manuals, helping people who are sick and homeless. And I think that commitment to answering questions, their actions as middlemen of knowledge, and is what compelled me into that universe. I'd like to read a passage that finds Alexander in one of the library's telephone reference rooms. Answering the library phones is an unpredictable business. One minute things are quiet, the next you've got 7 callers on hold. Like, how can I open a car wash in Istanbul? Which weighs more, an elephant or the tongue of a whale? Hey, do you know a good recipe for pancakes? Excuse me, I need to know how to divide fractions. Is there a difference between a cockroach and a water bug? Can you find me a history of wishes? Once I'd finished up with those callers, I had a chance to focus on my own query, the search for the watch. There's an unwritten rule of library work that says big guns rarely hit small targets. And since my target fits snugly into a 4-inch by 6-inch compartment, I had to think long and hard about my choice of ammo before approaching the tower-shaped Lazy Susan of reference works that dominates the center of the room. And on a page that registered the Etch-a-Sketch Club of Byron, Ohio, and the G.I. Joe Special Forces of Schaumburg, Illinois, I got lucky. I hit my number.
Alan Kurzweil, author of The Grand Complication. Our program is directed by Catherine Simmons, edited by Mary Louise Kelly, produced by Jeff Rogers. The technical director is Bill Deputy. The production staff includes Art Silverman, Julia Redpath, and Rhonda Ray. At the foreign desk, Lauren Jenkins, Ted Clark, Bob Duncan, Martha Wexler, Jeff Sandman, Douglas Roberts, Dee Dee Skanky, and Rena Edven. Librarians include Denise Chen, Catherine Baer, Robert Goldstein, and Giselle Foss. I'm Noah Adams. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.